News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show at 222-1180, star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000 watt 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 8th of June, Anno Domini 2008, and you lucky people. You're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Larry Duke.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 8 minutes after the hour, it's news, views, stuff you can use, things to lose, a couple of things to choose. We have with us the magnificent Larry Dugan today. I don't remember what your official title is.
It's a long one.
Finger Lakes?
Director of Online Learning.
Oh, Director of Online Learning at Finger Lakes Community College. No. It's FLCC now.
Finger Lakes Community. Yeah, you're right.
It used to be CCFL.
Those are the days.
Now it's FLCC, and I just get confused. It used to be like Fredonia, they had it. Well, it's not important. But the thing is, Larry is Director of Online Learning. He runs a couple of dozen sites in Second Life, including ours.
Yes.
Larry is the owner of ours, so if there's something you don't like, blame him.
Yeah. His number in the own is...
I'm not the one that's been playing there for the past
1-800.
That's right. We're the ones who built everything, but I want you to blame him if there's something you don't like. But Larry has been generous and kind enough to loan us some land in Second Life, and we've built some stuff for sound bites and for the Security Tango and for Text Smart, and we've been having plenty of fun, including our latest acquisition. We've got a hot tub. I'll leave you to figure out where.
Yeah, so it was interesting to see you in the hot tub this week.
Yeah, I look good in the hot tub, doggone it. And we've been
your picture with Lolly, though.
Well, we've got that. I've also got a picture of us in the hot tub, just to make you insanely jealous.
Thank you. All right, I'll work on that.
No, the reality is it's...
You know what they say about payback.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
You know my rants.
I know about your rants.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so if you have Second Life questions, and I know more and more of you are getting them nowadays...
Because now it's officially open, the sound bites.
This is it. It is officially open.
I should have put a party tent up for this today.
We should have. It's not too late.
Okay.
Later tonight. Oh, we can just...
Find a computer somewhere, yeah.
Yeah, right, with a good enough graphics card.
Just meet up on the roof tonight.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Microsoft last week set its June patch list, saying it would issue 7 security updates, 3 of them critical to patch Windows components such as Bluetooth, DirectX, and Internet Explorer. It also looks like Microsoft will disable a vulnerable third-party program, according to Andrew Storms, Director of Security Operations at NCircle. Maybe this is a new trend by Microsoft, issuing kilobit updates to mitigate risks, said Storms, referring to one of the 7 updates. Kilobit is the term Microsoft coins to describe setting a flag in the Windows registry that disables a specific ActiveX control. The company regularly advises users to set the kilobit in lieu of a formal patch for a control that contains a bug. In April, Microsoft issued a kilobit update for an ActiveX control distributed by Yahoo for its Yahoo Music Box. At the time, Microsoft said it would lock down other vendor software at their request by releasing fixes through Windows Update. If Microsoft is patching one of its own ActiveX controls, I would think it says it's fixing something in ActiveX, but because it's labeled this as a kilobit, it leads me to think that it involves a third party, said Storms. Overall, he continued, the 7 update list is one of the most diverse and interesting in a long time. It runs the gamut as far as the distribution of where they are in the operating system and software. The only thing we're missing is a vulnerability for Excel or Outlook, and we'd have one for everything that Microsoft makes. Microsoft did rate 3 of the 7 updates critical, its highest threat ranking, while 3 are tagged important, which is one step lower. And the 7th, the kilobit update, was marked as moderate. The critical updates will patch Bluetooth, DirectX, and Internet Explorer and Windows, according to pre-patch notification Microsoft issued this last Tuesday. What's interesting to me about this is mostly the fact that Microsoft can kill someone else's program.
And you know me, I have had good English teachers, so they taught me to read between lines.
Yeah.
I heard you say that Microsoft killed a Yahoo ActiveX control,
yeah.
And didn't they just have some kind of interaction together recently in the news?
No!
I'm not coming to any conclusions here.
Soundbite's own conspiracy theorist here, Chris Wright. It was the second act of X Control on the grassy knoll. That really I find interesting, the fact that they are releasing a kill for someone else's program, which is kind of impressive to me.
Well, the kill bit specifically, it allows a program to kill an ActiveX execution if something goes nuts in ActiveX. So it's a good thing.
But if a program requires that ActiveX control, that program no longer works.
Right.
So that's how that goes. Well, that's interesting. We'll follow that as it goes along. But as always,
stay tuned.
Yeah, you should always update the criticals. Always.
Microsoft does not recommend unkilling an ActiveX control. If you do so, you may create security vulnerabilities from Microsoft's own knowledge base.
Yeah, right. If you run Windows, you may create. Oh, sorry. I have no idea what I was about to say. None. I have no idea. Our first caller is Clark from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Clark. What's your question? Clark, are you there? Hello, Clark?
Problems with the
board. Clark, are you there?
I am.
There you are.
Excellent. What's your question, Clark?
I've got an old Lotus word processing file, a .lwp.
Mm-hmm.
I can't read it on anything. Any idea on how to convert that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, you want an answer, too?
Yeah.
Oh, darn. Try OpenOffice.
OpenOffice, huh?
OpenOffice will read in just about any format, new or old. And, oh, by the way, it's free.
Sounds good to me.
OmniOffice should work too, because that's what Lotus Word Pro was based on. Is OmniWord.
Mm-hmm.
OpenOffice. Okay, yep. I will take a look. Thank you.
At OpenOffice.org.
I mean, it's a freebie, and you know, I mean, it'll do everything that Word, Excel will do. And again, you don't have to pay Microsoft the $500-$600,
which is a lovely thing. And I use it every day. I'm on a Linux box. Nobody knows at work. They send me files. I read their files.
RTF
I use their files.
Files and
the only thing I used to have a problem with was reading the new .docx format. I can do that now in 2.4. I can't save in it, but that doesn't matter. I read it and I can save as a regular doc file. Our next caller is Bob, also from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
Good morning. Actually, two quick questions. One, I'm considering switching from Windows to the Mac world, and I looked at the MacBook and the MacBook Pro, and I'm wondering which one is really overkill for me to where, you know, I don't need to spend all the extra money. I'm just going to be looking to do with it is email, web surfing, financial work, downloading digital images for my camera, organizing the pictures, things like that. And I'm just wondering which of those two laptops would probably be the best bet for me. And I want to also make sure that it's compatible down the road, so when they change from 10.5.2 to Leopard to some other thing that, you know, the operating system, it's still going to be having the horsepower to do it.
Pretty much any Mac will do what you want it to. It just becomes a matter of what features you want and how fast you want it to do it. The MacBook is certainly going to be enough. Basic difference between the MacBook and MacBook Pro is the MacBook Pro has a 15-inch screen versus the MacBook's 13-inch. And the MacBook Pro has a dedicated video card, which you won't really notice unless you do first-person shooter games.
Or Second Life.
No, my Second Life works fine on my MacBook.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. You know, 3D CAD, you know, 3D rendering. So in general, the MacBook is marketed at home users, students, people without, you know, huge needs, you know, which is pretty much what you described. And the MacBook Pro is marketed at business professionals and graphics professionals who need all that more horsepower. So the MacBook would be fine for you.
Okay, thank you. And the other quick question is, on my other laptop, it's running Vista Business, and I'm having trouble trying to receive Service Pack 1 through the Windows update. And I got a case open with Microsoft, and they're basically telling me that my sound card, which is Creative Labs, Sound Blaster Audigy MB is the driver for it. They're telling me that that's not updated to where that's blocking Service Pack 1. So I go back to my manufacturer, which is Dell, and Dell says there's no update for it. And if you want us to search for one, we're going to charge you $249. So I told them, forget you, and I went back to Microsoft, and they're going to be willing to work with me, but it's going to be a long, drawn-out process.
Yeah, go to Creative's website.
I did.
And they don't have anything there?
No.
Right. Well, then your choice is don't install Vista or Surface Pack 1, or try to install it and things won't work.
Or a workaround is if you can, you might want to take the card out temporarily.
He said a laptop.
Oh, it's laptop?
Yeah.
Nope. It's not integrated. It's a Sound Blaster Odyssey. Dell claims it's a separate card, which is confusing.
So it goes into the card slot on the side and you can pull the card out of the computer?
No, that's why I can't.
Oh, so then it's a daughter board, apparently.
Oh, yeah. Right. So if you're handy with a soldering iron, you could remove that. You could remove that card.
Not recommended.
But yeah, so that's one of the that's.
Well, you could always remove the driver. So the choice is you get Service Pack 1 with no sound.
Then who's what else?
And then you're going to have the annoyance of every once in a while it's going to come up and say, "Oh, I found a sound card. You want to install it?"
Right. And this has been the big issue with Vista all along, and they didn't fix it with Service Pack 1. In fact, I've heard that the on HP models that have the fingerprint scanner, that is not Service Pack 1 compatible. And the company that made that driver for the fingerprint scanner hasn't come out with a Service Pack 1 update yet. So it's a very tricky issue loading these updates.
A lot of companies aren't going to do it. I mean, they're just so disgusted with Vista.
They've already given up on Vista.
Yeah, and that you know, they know Microsoft is already coming out with System 7. They're just going to wait it out. They're treating it just like they did with Windows ME. They don't want to touch it. Yeah. It's a pain in their sides and because of the conventions that they... make you stick to as far as Microsoft's concerned. You know, you've got to jump through this hoop and that hoop and this and that. And then a lot of them say, forget it. It works fine under Windows XP. You go sit on Vista and, you know.
And we're hearing some of the same that you've talked about, too, with XP Service Pack 3. That was supposed to be just a roll-up of all of the previous updates, but apparently there's new stuff in there that's breaking programs.
Yeah, there's a few that snuck in there, and that's why I tell folks, until they patch the patch, stay with Service Pack 2. When you go to do your updates, you can do a custom. And from there, it'll say, do it, the whole Service Pack, or look. And you can look and then select the ones that you really want to put in and stay away from the full Service Pack 3.
All right, we are going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, the mighty Larry Dugan, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you. It is 20 minutes after the hour. We are Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM. It is hot in the city, but we are cool. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
I'm Larry Dugan.
I'm cooler.
No doubt. No question.
I'm Rob Linton.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. All right, now look. Normally, I read a news item here, but we are always telling you how much more fun we have in the breaks that you guys never get to be a part of. And I thought, let's take the discussion we were having in the break and bring it to the show. Now, I know all of you are getting excited now, but unfortunately, we were talking about Vista and Windows 7. Larry asked if we had any hopes for Windows 7. My hope is that it stinks so badly that more people go to Linux than the Mac. That was my hope, but everybody else had a different hope.
Yeah, and I said it's probably going to be a combination of once they get Service Pack 3 settled down, and they'll add a little bit of the GUI, hopefully not the security part of the Vista, and come out with System 7 that way.
Remember that's how ME came about. No one was buying Windows 2000, and Microsoft needed people to upgrade from 98. Oh, let's slap together ME.
Right. Well, no, ME came out and then 2000, and folks were waiting for 2000 because they knew that was going to be NTFS FAT, and they wound up going right to 2000 instead of playing around with the stupid ME, which stood for many errors anyways.
Right.
And just went that way.
See, I'm on the grassy knoll with Chris. Here's my belief. Microsoft has realized they have the business model that carried them from the 70s to the 80s to the 90s isn't working anymore.
That ship is sinking.
That ship has sunk, and actually, we're building reefs on it now. here's where the future is: selling apps online, a service model where you pay to access applications online. I personally believe that Vista is as bad as it is because Microsoft in 7 is going to say, all right, we know we had problems with Vista. And in 7, all the apps are online. And instead of paying $400 for the operating system, we'll give you the operating system, but you'll pay X, Y, and Z to access stuff online.
Didn't they just release Office Live? So you can use the Office apps as an online app?
And that's a pilot for that. Absolutely. And that's my belief, that they are attempting to drive us to the net. Now, unfortunately,
because they have to compete with Google apps.
Well, they're a little behind. Because I can do everything I want to do in Google apps.
Right.
In fact, you know what I just found? Through one of the mailing lists for the Second Life thing. You could create a billboard that goes to Second Life to a Google app. And so if you share that Google app with people and they play, you know, they change a document or draw on it or whatever in Google, it shows up in Second Life. Now that is beyond cool.
How does it show up? How does it?
It's a web page. The Google app is just a web page.
Now you're finding things that I haven't found yet.
Well, I hadn't thought. I mean, if you think about it, anything you can show on a web page, you can show in Second Life.
And
this is just a web page.
Through a media
the big problem is refreshing it, so you have to have somebody always hitting the F5 in the real world. But so what? I mean, you're going to be doing that anyway as multiple people work on the app.
I just got about 1,000 new ideas to do.
See? You're welcome.
Because Google Apps is like phenomenal.
It really is.
I use it all the time. I've been encouraging people at the college, stay away from Microsoft Office. Go over to Google Apps because we can share things out. We can collaborate.
Word processing, spreadsheet, it's all there. And you can do it all online. And the presentation stuff is online. When I go to a conference, I'm a belt and suspenders guy. So I've got my laptop with, say, my presentation on it. I've got it on a thumb drive. I've got it on a CD, and I've got it in Google Docs.
Wow.
If there's almost now no way I can't get to it. How many times have you gone to a conference and they can't hook you up, or you can't do this, you can't do that? But now, if they're not holding it in a cave somewhere, I can get on.
So you hit on something that's really, Second Life for us in education has been like, well, okay, and we start teaching classes there and been doing some stuff with it, but it's when we can actually bind things from the outside into Second Life that it's going to be just very, very robust. And there's a lot of people that are coming up with alternatives to Second Life and things like that do that. But, when we use these learning management systems like you guys have Desire to Learn, we have Angel. Those kind of bindings where you can go back and forth, that's going to be phenomenal.
Yeah.
And Google Docs, if you could do a Google Docs.
It's just a web page.
Yeah, yeah, it's perfect.
So, but that brings us back to our point of you don't have to wait for, you don't have to pay for Windows Live. You don't have to wait for Windows 7. You've got Google Docs now, and it runs on Linux, and it runs on the Mac, and it runs on Windows, and it runs on the EPC, and to make somebody in the forums, I think it was Doc in the forums, happy. But the idea is you can run it anywhere. You can do anything with it. And why wouldn't you use it?
The big disadvantage is that you have to be connected to the internet.
Right.
So, when you're on a plane or on a train, stuck in whatever your time is, a lot of people use that time to do their writing and do their thinking.
But you can download whatever document you have to your hard drive and then use OpenOffice, which is free,
locally,
to play with it locally and then upload it again when you're done.
There was a great Asimov story about that where a guy was always complaining that he never had time to write because he had to wait for elevators and he had to wait for waiters. And so his friend who knew a demon fixed it. So he never had to wait for anything. As soon as he finished his meal, the waiter was there with a check. As soon as he walked up to an elevator, the door opened. He gave up writing. Because now he had no time to think.
Exactly. All right, we're back to the phones, and our first caller is Petro from Atlanta, Georgia. Am I reading this correctly, Petro?
Yes, you are.
Holy mother of pearl. How are things in Atlanta?
It's hot like it is up there.
I bet it is. What's the temperature?
It's about 95 with the humidity. It's about 105.
Whoa.
Okay, suddenly I'm glad to be in Rochester, New York. Who would have thought that would happen?
Yeah.
Well, are you hearing us live or over the net?
over the internet.
Oh, cool.
How cool is that? What's your question, Petro?
I'm interested in the ultra mobile PCs. I think they're also known as EEE PCs.
That's one model, right, right.
And what do you think of them, and what operating system is on these?
Well, you can get one of two operating systems on them now in the new versions that are coming out. You can get Windows XP. I'm not sure I would opt for that, or Linux. And Linux is much faster on them, and I think it runs a little better in the ones I've seen. They're nice little devices. They don't do a lot. The graphics are not high-end. I don't even think you can run Second Life on them. But, you know, if you want something that will get you on the net so you can, you know, listen to sound bites and check your email and do web pages, maybe particularly your email if you're in Gmail and stuff like that. It can't be beat. It's tiny. It's got, if you've got good eyes, you know, it's the little 7-inch model. My eyes are older than I am by decades, so I would prefer the 10-inch model. But they're out there, and they're beautiful things. They're really beautiful things.
Okay. How heavy are they? They're like under 2 pounds. Is that what it is?
Yeah. They're very light. They're about the size of a paperback book. And they're very, very light.
There's also a class of ultra mobile PCs from the traditional manufacturers, you know, running Windows, that, you know, they're, you know, god awful expensive, you know, $2,000 or $3,000, because they weigh a pound.
You're right.
Yeah. So there's always that trade off between, you know, price, performance, and weight.
Okay.
But we're seeing this new class of low cost PCs, the EPC, the Intel Classmate. That are very light and still a pretty decent little machine.
I'm hoping to get my hands on a Classmate next week.
The OLPC, when it's available to the public, right now it's you donate tens of thousands of them to third world countries.
Right. I have an OLPC, and I love it. It's wonderful.
Okay.
In terms of lightweight, they can't be beat.
Okay. Which Linux is on there? Which Linux is on there, or you have to put it?
Xandros, right?
Xandros, thank you. Yeah, Xandros Linux is on the EEPC. They're pretty much the same. The big question is, what have they done with the GUI, right? The big question is, what have they done with the front end? And they've done a very nice job with it. It really is set up as a point-and-click operating system. You click on this, and you're in Mail. You click on this, and you're in something else. And it all works very nicely. One of the things that they've worked on is games for kids. So, you know, it's got to be fast enough to do that, some of that stuff at least. So it's a pretty neat product, and I'm actually pretty impressed.
Petro, you ask what version of Linux. When it comes to Linux, it almost doesn't matter. Most Linuxes are pretty much the same under the surface. And what you're looking at in the terms of differences are GUI differences.
Yeah.
So you can run anything that will run under anybody else's Linux.
Yeah, the thing you don't know, I'm a blind person here.
Ah.
And you know the Ubuntu 8.04?
Right.
It has the Orca screen reader on it.
Right, which is terrific.
Automatic. It's already built in.
Yep.
So are you using JAWS?
Yes, I am.
So JAWS is working with it no problem?
I don't have Ubuntu. I'm researching it.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. But the Ubuntu 8.04 had the screen reader called Orca.
Okay.
Built right in.
Already built in.
Sweet.
So I don't know if I can put that on there.
Well, that'll save you some money in having to buy any additional licenses for Zoomtex.
Yeah. Right.
Or, I mean, JAWS.
I'm computer literate, you know.
Right.
I have a Sling box here. I have my own network attached storage.
We're all coming to visit you once it cools down.
Okay.
I love it. The underground is great there in Atlanta.
You know, everything's accessible.
Yeah.
Know.
Yeah, exactly. And
I
that's
use a Windows Media Player just to educate people. I use a product called Replay AV.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'm
sure.
Recording your show today.
Nice.
Okay.
Nice.
And what's the battery life on that Ultra Mobile?
The battery life is not huge. You get the theory.
What is an hour?
The theory is a couple hours, 2 hours and 45 minutes. They're saying.
Okay.
That's the 4-cell battery, with at 4,400 milliamps. There's a 5,200 milliamp, That gives you 3.5 hours of battery life.
Yeah, that's one.
Can you run it with the AC power?
Yes, absolutely.
Sure, yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
that's
my
one of the ways to make
to run a Bluetooth on it. You know, with a keyboard, a bigger keyboard.
Yep.
Because I don't have to. You know, I don't have to. You know, I can't see the screen anyway.
Right, right, right.
How about the speaker? The speakers on these things. The sound output
for his voice.
Right. The speakers that are built in are tiny. And there is a built-in microphone, but there is a microphone input. I don't know. If
I think your Jaws. I think the Jaws and any other program that you choose to use, as far as speech, I think will be adequate for that part.
There is a headphone jack.
Yeah, and I can run an output through another.
Right,
speaker.
Mm-hmm. Right. So there is a headphone jack. So okay. That should work for you.
All right. Keep up the great work.
Well, let us know how you make out with it.
Now, one thing I would suggest you do is get into our forums, because there are a couple of EEPC owners, EPC owners in the forums, and they might be able to help you, particularly with something like what's built in and all that stuff. Okie doke. Keep listening in Atlanta. I'm fascinated to know we've got people out there. And Petro, don't forget, tell everybody in Atlanta about Soundbites. Everybody. And then find out why we're not on your local Clear Channel station. We should be. All right. Have we got time for another caller? Is that what we're doing? All right. We'll take another caller. And our next caller is Lisa. I don't know where you're from, Lisa, but I'm sure you do. Lisa?
Yes.
Where are you from?
Macedon, New York.
Macedon. How are things in Macedon today?
Hot.
Hot? Summer's almost here. Get over it.
Okay.
What can we do to make your life easier, Lisa?
Okay. I have a Windows XP desktop, mm-hmm. Service Pack 2, and the TrueVector service has shut down, and it is very slow. When I type an email or just a Word document having only one program open, there are huge pauses.
Okay. What antivirus program are you running?
I have Zone Alarm.
What antivirus, though?
No, TrueVector is the thing underlying Zone Alarm, but Zone Alarm is not an antivirus program.
McAfee, Norton.
No.
AVG.
AVG.
No.
Avast,
I thought Zone Alarm has antivirus when you buy something with it.
Oh, maybe, yeah, when you purchase it.
Yeah, I bought the whole thing.
All right. But TrueVector is, in fact, a Zone Alarm thing.
Security might be set too high.
I emailed to the Zone Alarm, and they told me to change the MS config, and I disabled whatever they told me to disable, and it's still slow. It didn't do anything.
Well, what's slow?
Typing an email or a Word document.
How much
that
memory?
That has nothing to do with TrueVector.
Well, yeah, except that TrueVector is part of Zone Alarm, and it is causing problems, we need to fix that.
How much memory is in your machine?
Yeah, I don't remember, but it's enough.
Yeah. Have you updated Zone Alarm recently?
I have it on automatic update.
Do a manual update.
Okay.
And see what happens, because there was a fix very recently for that.
Okay.
Over the years, there have been several fixes for TrueVector. But I would suggest that you make sure you've updated to the latest version.
Okay.
And I think, well, try that first and let us know.
All right.
Thanks. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Larry Dugan, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 40 minutes after the hour. You are listening to Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
I'm Larry Dugan.
I'm Rob Linton.
Who?
Who? That's real professional.
Wasn't that great? I yelled at the microphone across the room. I'm Rob good. Linton.
And you thought that? How many years have you been in radio and you thought
I just
that
yelled
would
at her.
Work?
I apologize. I yelled.
I'll compare her to fix that.
You just blew out that poor young lady's eardrum.
I did.
We have a new young lady.
Yeah,
in
all
the,
we see is
yes,
a
we
forehead.
Do. Introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Alex. I am a board operator here. I'm usually on WHAM during the evenings, but I'm training to do the shows on Sunday mornings for, I don't know, when this guy wants to take a day off or something, whenever that happens.
Oh, no. Rob is not allowed, Alex.
Hey,
Rob,
she'll fit in fine here. You know what I'm saying?
What?
She'll fit in fine here.
Yeah, she clearly will.
We can refer to her
as the
forehead.
She's already insulted you, but at least partially.
We can refer to her as the forehead, because that's all we see is the forehead.
That's right, just the forehead.
There she is. She has a face. Very nice.
All right. That's all you see if I wasn't sitting in the chair, too.
All right, it is 46 minutes after the hour. Got to do the time check.
Yeah.
46 minutes after the hour. Several of the... Now, we were talking about laptops and with Petro and a couple of other people. Let me tell you about what's coming up. Several of the new low-cost laptops announced either come with Microsoft Windows or a Linux operating system and other Linux programs. Acer has developed one page... a homepage for the laptop that pops up before the operating system loads so that people can start navigating through their computer more quickly. One page offers quick access to music, messaging software, games, the internet, and more. So you pop open the laptop, bang, one page pops up instantly while the OS boots in the background and you can do things. We really need to continue our journey on Linux, said Jim Wong, Senior Corporate Vice President at Acer, in an interview. We can develop it more, and we will try to develop alliances with more partners. Linux is a lonely word. We need to create a community. The call to develop a Linux community around low-cost laptops appears to swipe at Microsoft, and also a complete lack of understanding of the community that's already out there. But that's okay. The Linux push in low-cost laptops highlights the battle PC makers face with Microsoft to persuade it to keep supporting Windows XP, an OS the software giant would like to retire in favor of Windows Vista. Vista is a problem because it requires more expensive components than XP, which would raise the price of a low-cost laptop. The problem right now is... Microsoft is in the same position today American car manufacturers were a couple of years ago. They opened all these plants for SUVs, and all of a sudden the price of gas went through the roof. Rob knows this intimately, of course. He's not paying any attention. He has no idea what I'm talking about. Okay, forget it.
His H2.
Forget it. It doesn't okay, I'll forget it. Microsoft is in the same situation. They've created this operating system which requires more, and suddenly people are not able to afford more, and they want less, so they have to turn away from that. And really, the only two alternatives are Linux and the Mac is perceived, at least. I won't get into this whole discussion with Steve that if you're willing to spend $50,000 on two laptops, one of them could be a Mac, and they'd be identical. But if you want a low-cost system, it's harder to find a Mac model that suits your needs, whereas you can find low-cost laptops running Linux that immediately save you $200 off the top. You don't have to pay for Windows, and yet have all the features you really want. So that's where Microsoft seems to be finding itself today. Acer just launched their first ever mini notebook, the Aspire 1. It's $399 to $499. It's a mini laptop for people who want an inexpensive, convenient mobile device they can take anywhere and surf the internet wirelessly. Asus Tech, which we know as Asus, offers both Linux and Windows XP and its popular EE PC, which we were just talking about. And they expect to sell 2 million of those with the Linux OS this year. They're also trying their ExpressGate Linux software in some laptop PC models. ExpressGate is another one of those things that bypasses the operating system and goes directly to a startup screen that offers direct net access, game playing, music, and other stuff in just under 5 seconds. So things are moving apace. We're seeing more and more interest in the low end and tiny little laptops. And we're also seeing more offerings in those areas. So I think it's nice to see that the options are there. Now, again, folks who are looking to get them today, like Petro, are a little ahead of the curve. You know, it's another year and they'll find a lot more offerings and a lot more capabilities. But, you know, that's what happens here at the start. We're going to take another break. When we come back, keep your seats, folks. It's Story Hour with Uncle Dave. And if I know him, he's been building it up for 2 weeks now. Back in just a couple of minutes on the greatest computer show in the known universe. 50 minutes after the hour, Soundbites, 1180 WHAM. All right, welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Wright.
I'm Larry Dugan.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 54 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. All right, kiddies, it's that time once again. Get your footy jammies on, grab a mug of hot cocoa, and sit Indian style in a semicircle around the rocking chair. Because if we can slap them awake, it's time for Story Hour with Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave? Uncle Dave!
Did you miss me?
Did you miss me, kiddies?
All right, let's start off with two things.
Uh-oh.
One, I'm going back to the previous one when I told folks about signing up for the Soundbites forums. And I got some folks coming back, well, got to be cautious on what I put into forms. Well, hello, putting in your city and state isn't giving away the national security secrets or, you know, your financial information. That's all I'm asking for, and enough on that, because without the city and state, you ain't getting in, and that's the name of that tune. Now, going back to Chicken Lips here, there's a certain individual complaining. I do a CD up. It's got all the Tango stuff
this
on
again?
It.
This again? Is it the same guy?
No, this is another person. All right, you ready for this? The stuff on there is free, correct?
Right.
Yes.
They're complaining because they got to manually update it.
Oh, it's a different
hello?
Argument.
Well, hello, if you don't like that, then pay for it. But I want the free stuff. Well, you can't have it both ways. You either go in and manually do the updates and be annoyed once in a while when it'll remind you that there's an update, or pay the company and get it done behind the scenes. It's one or the other. You can't have it both ways. And they were bitching about that. And so, I'm sorry. You know, we give you the CD. It's got a lot of great stuff. It'll keep your machine clean. Yes, you might have to do a little work. Too bad. It's that or shell out some money, but I don't want to hear it.
Everybody wants everything for
right.
free.
Hold him down. I got the tranquilizer.
See, you missed me.
We miss you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's it. Rinse out your hot cocoa mugs. Change out of your footy jammies. We put Uncle Dave back on the shelf for another week.
Right.
All righty. We're going to throw in a phone call here. Our next... Oh, apparently we're not.
Be that way.
I keep forgetting. I'm looking at this clock, which apparently is in, I don't know, Greenwich Mean Time or
Rungovian
something.
Rungovian time.
Yeah, right, because it's not even close. I apologize to all of you. We will not be able to take a call right now. We will have to wait. I gotta take that clock down. I don't know why that clock is there if it's so grossly wrong
every single week.
We
fix it almost every week.
Yeah. All you have to do is pay attention to me, and I am everything you need. You know what I'm saying? Time-wise, I will take care of it.
All right. Thank you. That's a lovely thing to know. Only I look at you and you've got the
look on your face.
Oh, yes.
Apparently, I'm the Bill Gates of WHAM.
Yeah. You and Bill Gates, WHAM. Those are the only three things you need. All right. We're going to take a break. News, views, stuff you can use is coming on the other side of the news, weather, and sports. You already know who we all are. We all know who you all are because we're watching you through the radio. You didn't even know that was possible. It's 57 minutes after the hour. Soundbites, 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
I'm Larry Dugan.
And I'm Rob Linton.
He's a trained professional, folks.
Don't try this at
hey
home.
Hey, now, be nice.
And it I'm is 7 minutes nice. After the hour, and we are Soundbites. All right, every week on the Soundbites page, we put up a poll. Last week's poll is about Windows 7's touchscreen interface. 237 of you voted, making it number 303 in the all-time hit list. Thanks to each and every one of you.
Well,
most of
Windows
you had no idea.
Again?
Yeah, the Windows 7 is putting the touchscreen thing that they have on their Surface.
They'll mess that up, too.
On the laptop, so that you'll spend 2 or 3 hours with your hands stuck way out in front of you like this trying to do...
And then people are going to wind messing up the screens because they'll clean them and they'll soak them.
Yep. Yeah. Well, one of the coolest things I've seen is the Wacom Cineq. It's a touchscreen monitor. So you designed for artists who just sketch right on the monitor.
Right.
So you eliminate that whole tablet and then looking at the monitor. But they're just bloody expensive. But they're gorgeous.
There's that. And so most of you had no idea what it was. And some of you are waiting for version 2. And 18 of you just can't wait to get one. Or randomly click the button. This week's poll. Here's an interesting thing we discovered. Now, you want to listen to this carefully because it's not happening here, at least not yet. Time Warner's lines, like every other cable company, Time Warner's lines are clogged with only 5% of users sucking up to 50% of the upload and download capacity. Comcast attempted to deal with the problem by targeting programs like BitTorrent with throttling techniques, found itself the target of a Federal Communications Commission network neutrality investigation. Time Warner hopes to avoid that sort of embarrassment by offering tiered service, something the cable cos know all about. with monthly allowances for downloading and uploading files. Users exceeding their monthly allowance will pay $1 per gigabyte. According to the Associated Press, the plan is being test marketed in Beaumont, Texas. So don't get all up in arms. It's not happening here, at least not yet. We think it's a fair way to finance the needed investment in the infrastructure, said Kevin Letty, Time Warner's Executive Vice President of Advanced Technology. Time Warner's tiers will begin at $30 a month for 768 kilobits per second service with a 5 gigabyte cap, which means that you get 768K of download speed. And after you download 5 gigabytes, they charge you $1 a gig. Now, the top tier goes for $55 a month for 15 megabits per second and a 40 gigabyte cap. For those of you old enough to remember the dial-up era of U.S. internet service, usage caps were standard operating procedure, or SOP for ISPs like AOL.
S-U-O-A-D. Sweet use of acronyms, dude.
Thanks.
LOL.
Yeah, right. The caps went away with the advent of broadband services. Rival ISPs began challenging AOL's huge market share by offering unlimited usage. Even AOL finally dropped its caps.
Especially, that's why acronyms came into such popular use, is because you were paying by the minute.
Yeah, right.
And paying by K in a lot of
right.
respects.
Now it appears the cable industry is looking back to the 20th century to deal with its 21st century issues. One cable company closely following Time Warner's test will be Comcast, which is also considering usage caps since its throttling approach has ignited the ire of both consumers and regulatory agencies. So our question this week is, how do you feel about Time Warner's bandwidth capping plan? Your choices are, I love the idea. Honestly, I wouldn't even notice. What's Frontier's number again? And I'm still on dial. Carrier lost. That was my favorite one. I'm sorry, it just was. So, so far, we've got approximately 81 votes. The number one choice, not surprisingly, is what's Frontier's number again?
Well, don't read too much into that, people, because they could put a cap on their service.
Well, that's
just
exactly
as easily.
Right. That's
yeah.
exactly right. And the second choice, which is a serious one, is honestly, I wouldn't even notice. Most people never get near those caps. What you'll find is a vocal minority who's constantly down. Well, it does mean that I'll stop using Miro to download some of the. Are you having fun over there?
He broke his mic.
Yeah, you clearly are. I will be using Miro. Oh, you did. I will be using Miro to stop using Miro to download a bunch of stuff when that happens. I mean, I'm downloading TV shows and things that I missed, and all of the. It's fascinating that all of the television companies are putting their stuff online so people who miss them can get them down and yada, yada, yada. That's all going to stop. That's because you're going to hit your limit long about, the 5th. So that's a problem. That's a problem. I don't know how that's going to pan out. But the first person, the person who keeps it free the longest is probably going to win big.
See, we used to blame it on the Linux guys because they're downloading that 2 gig ISO, every couple of days.
Yeah, now that's like what, first 10 minutes of movie?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it's gonna be the business users that are the big internet users, right. Not consumers, not you and me.
Well, we do download movies and television and stuff like that.
But we do it at our leisure time. Businesses are online 24/7.
And you're gonna see businesses even monitor more of what's going on in their internet.
Right. Now, I don't know that Frontier will do this because I have a direct link from Frontier to the central office. Nobody else shares that. It is my line alone, and it's only when it gets to the central office is it shared with other people, and that's already on fiber. So there isn't a big congestion point anywhere in their system. So I don't know that I don't know that they would need to do that.
What does Frontier have to lose, though? I mean, if you're Time Warner and you're delivering movies,
right. So,
and that almost becomes the other half of the equation, is they don't want you downloading movies with Miro or BitTorrent. They want you using pay-per-view on their cable system.
Right. Anyway, that's our poll. And so once you're done with the poll, because I know with this one particular, you're not going to just want to have one thing to say. So underneath that poll, you will see a little yellow box. And if you click on Give Us Your Opinion, it takes you to my website, AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
Thank you. And you will be able to post an opinion. For heaven's sake, keep it clean. Thank you. That's all I ask. is to just please keep it clean. All right, it's back to the phones. Our next caller is Kevin from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Kevin. What's your question?
Hi, guys. I'm trying to work my office, you know, Microsoft Office.
Yeah.
I type in the username, the initials, the organization. I type in a product key that I get off the back of the computer. I'm getting this message.
Yeah, no, it's wrong key.
That's the Windows product key for your operating system.
You need, there should have, with the CD for Windows Office, you would need a separate key, and it would say for Microsoft, you know, MS Office.
Okay, and then I never got the CD with the computer, so.
Well, then you should have some
Documentation somewhere.
Yeah. Is it a Dell? Or?
Now, was this a, well, we don't need the name of the company. Was this a private purchase, or was this a commercial purchase?
Private. It's a home. You know, I got it.
Right, and what's happened is the person either unregistered Microsoft Office or just threw their version on there with their key, which will not work because they are using their key. So that Microsoft Office simply will not work. You have two choices at this point.
Okay.
You can buy a copy of Microsoft Office for hundreds of dollars.
I have checked it out.
Or you can uninstall Microsoft Office entirely and install OpenOffice, which is free.
OpenOffice.
And is certainly an equivalent program for most people.
OpenOffice.org.
.org?
Yep, mm-hmm. OpenOffice.org.
Oh, great.
It is free, and it certainly, therefore, doesn't hurt to test it. Now, it is different from Microsoft Office. It does all the same things, but like I always say with operating systems, when you get a new one, it's not like you don't know. It's like driving a car. It's not like you'd forgotten how to drive. You just don't know where the radio is.
Right.
And the same thing would be true of OpenOffice. You still know how to use it. I mean, it still does all the same things. You just don't know which buttons do what.
Right.
So it's good. There's going to be a learning curve, and as long as you're willing, you know, that's what it costs you. Instead of hundreds of dollars, an hour or two of your time.
Yeah, because isn't that drastic? But, you know, like Nick says, they just move buttons around.
Much of it is the same. Control-B for bold, Control-S for save. I mean, 90% of it is the same. It's only when you get into the more esoteric features of it that you have a problem.
Okay.
And this is something people have to watch out for when they're buying used computers. Is, you know, a lot of times you see on the ads, well, I'm going to throw in all this software. Well, unless they throw in the disks and the serial numbers and they removed it from their computers, it's illegal, and you can't use that and shouldn't count that as how great a deal this used computer is.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So when you're selling a computer, you either have to erase all the software from it or you have to include all the disks you're including in the sale.
Okay.
There you go. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you. Bye.
And for heaven's sake, erase your stuff from the computer you sell.
Yeah.
How many stories do we hear about people buying used computers and all the previous person's stuff is on it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. including banking information and you know, identity information and all.
Yeah,
all
the document things. That says list of important numbers.
Yeah, right.
Credit card numbers and social security numbers.
Yep.
Well, you'd be astounded. I won't talk about that, but you can get those off the internet for any one of 100,000 people insanely easily. It's frightening how good it is, how easy it is. All right. Do we have our next caller is Dan. Dan from Attica, New York. Welcome, Dan. What's your question?
Well, I just updated to OS 10.5.3, and I use Adobe Photoshop Elements 4 with the Essentials package. And now the Essentials package no longer works.
That's an occasional issue with Apple updates to their operating system.
And with Microsoft, too, with any update. Check with Adobe to see if they have an update for that program. They may not yet, since 10.5.3 is so new. There was an issue with Adobe Photoshop specifically. Saving files to a network file server can cause data corruption. So if you should save your file on your local hard drive.
Yeah, that I. But I was using it to scan slides, and in the middle of that, Adobe, you know, Photoshop decided, well, do an update. Well, okay, I did that, and then the Essentials quit working, and I don't know if it was the Adobe update or the Mac update or what. I tried reinstalling Essentials. It says it can't find Photoshop 4.0. So something has turned something off somewhere or that it's...
Photoshop 4 or Photoshop Elements 4?
Photoshop Elements 4.
Okay, because Photoshop 4 won't run under OS 10.
Right.
So Photoshop Elements 4. I know that it just came out with 6, so maybe your Photoshop is just too old now to be compatible with the system you have.
Well, it ran fine before.
Right, it always does. Everything always works fine until it doesn't.
That's true.
So you can check with Adobe to see if they have an update, which is unlikely because it's such an old program. You could reinstall 10.5 and downgrade your operating system, or you could buy the new version of Elements, which I think is only $99.
But yeah. There's a discount for upgrades.
Yeah, if you're upgrading from an old version of Elements, I think there's a discount, too.
One school of thought is to not upgrade your Mac operating system until it's been out for a month or so.
And hear someone else have the problems. Yeah. Right. But it's often the case with older software may not work anymore, even sometimes newer software, and you have to get an update from them.
Right. All right, we're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes on the greatest computer show in the known universe. 20 minutes after the hour, Soundbites, 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
I'm Larry Dugan.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And?
Alex Vanderwell.
And at 25 minutes after the hour, what is she, like a second-class citizen? She can't say her name? Don't give me that face.
Did I say anything?
You had the face.
I didn't have a face.
You had a face.
He got the face.
25 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites.
We with the face.
We had to pick
Rob had the face. Sure. And there's a kid in the room, for heaven's sake.
And now you gotta watch that window.
You just have to lower the microphone for me. I can't reach. I'm not quite tall enough, and I've lost my growing years.
I see. Well, it has nothing to do with that. It has the fact that he bogarted the mic. Kept it away from you purposely. All
right. Well, you notice the ceiling tiles have to keep be moved around from him being in there.
Exactly.
His head scrapes across the top of him.
He's a tall guy.
Yep.
And Alex has such a charming voice.
She does. She's a charming girl. And then there's Rob.
And then there's Rob. What was that TV show?
I mean, apparently, she's not turning on his mic over there, which I think is a very smart thing to do, Alex, by the way. All right. Our next caller is Gerd from Victor, New York. Welcome, Gerd. What's your question?
Okay. I'm not going to ask how everybody is because everybody else does. and we know we're doing good.
We're all good.
Hot and humid. I have a HP Compact running Windows XP Professional, and when the screen when I want to turn it off, you know, I use the start button and all that stuff, and I hit the turn off machine in the middle of the screen. The background goes gray, and when I hit that button, it just goes away, and the screen is as normal as can be with all the little things on it. Mm-hmm. So I have to wait until that other screen shows up, the one where it says, first of all, on the bottom left, it'll tell me, do you want to turn my machine off? And then on top it says, or in the middle it says, do you want to switch users? Or, I don't know, I'm out in the garage. I'm not in front of the computer right now. When I hit the button on the bottom left of the screen, which has my the name of my computer on it, do I want to shut it off? It will turn off, but before it turns off, it says, are you sure you want to turn it off because there's somebody else on your machine? And there's nobody else on my machine. It's just me. So I hit the button, turn it off, and it will shut down, but it's a pain.
There may be someone else on your machine. You may have been hacked.
Are you networked?
Are you on the Internet?
Of course.
Then you are networked, and it is likely someone else is on your machine.
How do I know that?
Well, you're being told it every time you shut down. Our suggestion, I think, would be to dance Security Tango.
Okay.
At securitytango.com.
No, I just ordered the CD last week, so that's coming.
Perfect. So dance the Security Tango.
I can honestly say it's in the mail.
Yes, you can.
You can look at your Windows... Control-Alt-Delete. What does that bring up?
Task Manager.
And there's a checkbox on there that says show processes from other users. and that will show you what processes and programs it thinks other users are using. Now, if this is a sophisticated hacker, it may not show up there.
Well, and it may not. I don't want to completely alarm you. It may not be another user. It may not be a hacker. Some processes, for example, McAfee and other antivirus programs run under their own user. And so it could be that your antivirus is not shutting down or whatever. But the first thing you really want to do is dance the Security Tango because it is possible you were hacked.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep. Give it a shot first. Can't hurt.
Do that first. And if that doesn't work, then you should be able to see from the bring up the task manager and then shut down. You should see what's still running.
Okay. I do use the adware. I do use the, I have all those programs. I antivirus and so forth.
Right. It can't hurt.
Okay.
Hold on a second. Now Larry's got a question.
No, it's not for. Well, it's similar to this.
In that case, thank you, Gerd.
Yeah. For the group. Appreciate what does the if you now Gerd probably had some kind of a fire or some kind of a router running on his network. What firewall is in that hardware?
Depends on the machine.
Yeah.
But generally, they run some form of firewall. Linksys. They have their own firewall.
Built into it.
A firewall basically is just you can't come in unless you're allowed.
Right, it blocks ports.
Right. And it's the NAT router that gives you a private network address inside your local network so that people on the internet can't get to your computer except through the router. And the router blocks all that traffic unless you tell it to come in.
Okay, so I have a network at home. I'm running Apple's... The new one, the N router.
Right.
And I don't want people from the outside to come in, but I have seven computers running on that router.
They can't get in unless
you open up a port.
Right, unless you open a port to allow them to get in.
Your internal machines all have 10 dot something addresses.
Yeah.
Or 192 dot addresses on other routers. Apple uses the 10 dot range.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Then you're pretty safe. There are holes in your firewall. Port 80, which is HTTP.
The web server, right.
Now, 22, 23, those are open, but those are coming. That's how you get your mail. That's how you go to the web. That's how you do stuff like that. So those are open. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to do those things.
Right.
A lot of viruses use the 80 port now to start with.
Because they know you want port 80. You want web traffic to get into your network. So that's how they try to get in.
Right. You're never 100% safe, but you're safer.
Right. I was just wondering the difference between a client on the machine and a network.
The big difference is if you don't have a hardware router, if you're just directly connected to the internet, you want to be running a firewall on your machine. If you're on a network and you have a good router like the Apple One or the Linksys or whatever, then you trust their firewall, which I do at home, then you don't need one on your machine.
A lot of times what the firewall clients on your machine will do is say, this program is requesting access to the internet. Do you want to allow it? And depending on your level of sophistication, you understand what it means. Or it becomes an annoying thing and you just start clicking allow all the time. So when the bad program accesses the internet, you've already clicked allow.
Right. And the big difference really is if you have one on your router, then it is up to you to regularly check the logs and see what tried to get in, what didn't get in, what got in.
Yeah, well, what tried to get in is almost
everything.
Everything, right? You're right. There's
everybody's always hitting you. The real question is what got in.
That's one of the interesting things. You turn all your computers off, and the light on your cable or a DSL router will still blink that activity is happening because there's thousands of cracks and robots and botnets attacking every possible IP address. Like the demon dialers in the telephone days, they try every single IP address looking for an open port. Right. So even if all your computers are turned off, you're still having data traffic. Now, wait, that'll go back to the bandwidth cap issues. Some of these bandwidth caps are upload and download.
Right.
So
most of them are download.
Right. So all of these bad guys... pinging or trying to attack your router is going to count to your download cap.
Yep, I'll guarantee you I could put a machine on the internet, never access it, ever, and hit my download cap if I'm on the low end.
Yep.
Huh. Mm-hmm. I'll guarantee it. That's That's going to be an interesting part of the problem, isn't it?
Yep. So that, and so one of our suggestions is, even if you only have one computer accessing the internet, get one of these little hardware firewalls, $60-$70 for a decent one.
Yeah, right.
For the wireless ones are more that, you know, you can get a wired one for $40-$50. Just to have that hardware firewall protection, you're on a private network. It's less likely for things to get in.
Just one more level between you and them.
Right.
Yep.
Well, I mean, the other concern I had are these guys that drive around our neighborhood, and
right,
I can tell when they slow down to about 2 miles an hour going, yep, past my house.
Right. Bing. They have a little Wi-Fi.
Well, you gotta, you're right. Well, you gotta put your Wi-Fi, you know, behind
WPA.
Lock it down.
Right. Right. Yeah. WPA password. Don't use WEP because that can be broken in a few seconds. Right.
With your watch, if you know.
With your watch. Right.
So here's the interesting. I've said this before, but it happened to me a couple of summers ago. I sat on the porch with my laptop and logged in. I was working away, and I thought, man, this is slow. And I couldn't figure out why, and I pulled down the thing, and I had seven networks that my laptop could see, seven wireless networks. And I don't know how or why, but it attached to one that wasn't mine. And theirs was on a different provider, and it was slower than mine by a lot. And I thought, well, really, the bad part here is they've left their router open. I thought, you know, as a nice guy, I should really go in and fix that for them. But I didn't. Instead, I just quietly disconnected from them and manually connected to mine, which I now remember to do every time I go outside. But there were a lot of open wireless in my neighborhood. There was a lot of it.
That's one of the sort of overzealous things we've seen in Windows. We had a couple of customers this week with it. The Windows Wireless Zero Config Service, what is that? WZFC, something like that. WZZ, right. It's a service running in your PC that looks for wireless networks, and if it finds one, it will connect to it.
Right.
Most of the time, you know your wireless network, and you know you want to connect to it, so you can shut that service down. Because what will happen is just like happened to Nick, if it sees a different network, it will connect to it, and suddenly you're not on your network anymore.
Right. That's exactly right. So you've got to be careful of that. Whenever you open up, right now, there are two different wireless networks. I am connected to the one that I want to be connected to, but the other one actually has a stronger signal.
I have three open and three secure wireless networks visible on my computer.
Right. I'm limiting myself to a certain thing, but yeah. All right.
And sometimes they're sneaky. That's a real big issue in public Wi-Fi, even like Wi-Fi coffee spots or something. There's one here listed called Rochester Public Wi-Fi.
Right.
I don't think there is a Rochester Public Wi-Fi.
And if there is, I don't know it.
Right. And so somebody at a coffee shop creates a network on their computer saying free internet.
What is the city one, though? Isn't there?
That's Frontier. Frontier sponsored, and Frontier doesn't pay for it.
I think Rochester Public Wi-Fi is a real thing, but it is possible to go to, let's say you go mm-hmm. to Smith's coffee shop, mm-hmm. and you look at it and it says Smith connection, and then it's underneath it says Smith 2. And you think, well, I bet everybody else connected to Smith. I'll connect to Smith 2. Smith 2 is some guy on his laptop created a connection and is filtering all your traffic. Thank you very much.
Yep.
You know, so you don't know unless you ask the people who run the place, what is the name of your Wi-Fi connection? Most of the time you'll get, but, you know, in which case maybe you don't use it to begin with. Because if they, you know, well, maybe the baristas wouldn't know, but...
So don't do anything you wouldn't want someone looking over your shoulder to see, too.
Because, well, that's the other thing.
Because they will be looking over your shoulder at the next table.
That's exactly right. Just because they're not standing behind you doesn't mean they don't know what you're doing online. Argyle constantly is in the forums. He's, of course, and more importantly, he's in Second Life. I see him every night in Second Life. And he's traveling all over the world, and so he goes into coffee shops with his laptop and connects in. And sometimes the signal is great, and sometimes the signal is horrible. And I'm pretty sure that that's because somebody at the next table is downloading something large. I'm not saying the word pornography. I'm just saying something large. And consequently, his signal, you know, it's a shared signal in the place. You only get 11 megabits of bandwidth, and somebody else is taking 8 of it. So he's losing out because voice is big. So... sometimes his connection is as clean as you could ever want, and sometimes it's just really, really terrible, and we resort to typing. That's an interesting problem all over the net. And, of course, there are 100 million free programs that let you... they're called network sniffers, and they, you know, sniff out other people's traffic.
They make little keychain dongles that ding every time it finds an open network.
Mm-hmm. You can get T-shirts like that now off of ThinkGeek.
Yep.
A T-shirt that shows you, it's got little radiator line, like the lines from the voices in Second Life. And It's a real T-shirt. You can wear it. You can wash it. You can do everything with it. But it's also got a battery pack, and that fires this thing up. And the stronger the signal, the more lines you see.
And from a
I should get one just to have one.
From, and people think the ham radio guys are
geeks.
But and from a personal safety standpoint, if someone is driving in front of your house or parked in front of your house driveway or your coffee shop or wherever using for free Wi-Fi, if they do something illegal, when the police show up, they're going to arrest you.
And it is up to you to prove
that that wasn't me doing that.
Right. Because they have proved it came to your IP address.
There have been documented cases where this has happened.
Right. Right. You've read about it. 85-year-old women who were accused of downloading male gay porn. Kitty porn.
Because the IP address ended at their computer.
Because it ended at their... They didn't know, and they're pretty much probably not doing it. You know, you got to give it an 80% on that anyway.
The buck stopped there.
The buck stops there. And, you know, no matter what else you may think, and I'm sure they're ranting now over in the chat room, but the reality is that in the real world, you have laws. And if you break the laws, you get arrested. And if they think you broke the laws, you have to prove yourself innocent.
And it's hard to prove a negative.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And the problem is, you know, I know you're going to say we're innocent until proven guilty, but they've proven guilty. It came to your address. It came to an address for which you are responsible. Now you have to prove you were irresponsible and therefore innocent. Am I wrong?
Yeah, that's right. You have to prove you're irresponsible.
That could be the reason to leave your Wi-Fi open. I've got an open Wi-Fi. Anyone could have used it.
I don't believe that's a legal
I'm
not
access.
A lawyer, and I don't play anyone on television anymore.
Access.
But I'm
Who would access to that kitchen
knife
to stab somebody?
Ladies and gentlemen, please do not take legal advice from Steve Ray.
Steve, don't say these things on
Holy
the air.
Holy cow.
We should keep that stuff.
Holy cow. Do not take legal advice from Steve Ray.
And I haven't played a lawyer on TV either.
That's right. So I'm one step ahead of you. So
but I watch a lot of lawyer shows.
There you go. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I did stay.
And my daughter watches every CSI on Earth. You think she wants to go in with a scalpel some night? No. Yeah. Although my daughter, probably would. Yeah.
Although I have heard from cops that the criminals are getting smarter about leaving cigarette butts behind.
Yeah.
Because they watch the CSI shows too.
All right. Have I got time for a call? Have I talked my way out? I have time for a call. We're going to go to Mark in Irondequoit, New York. Welcome, Mark. What's your question?
Yeah, I'm wondering about that new flavor of Linux there.
Which one?
Is it, let's see.
The one we were talking? What?
What is it? Hardy Heron?
Hardy Heron. Ubuntu's Hardy Heron. Absolutely. We love Ubuntu. We love Ubuntu here. Yeah. It's a great operating system. It's very easy to install. Very, very easy to use. As I've said a million times, it's a little different from Windows, not in what it does, but how it does it. So there's a little bit of training.
Lots of support, lots of books on the bookshelves and the bookstores.
Cool. Because when now I've got the 6.6 on a different computer.
Right.
And my problem is when I do download stuff, I go out of my mind. And I know I'm downloading stuff that I probably really don't need.
Well an interesting thing with Ubuntu and with all Linuxes is that you have access to, 20,000 free programs?
Right.
Built in. You don't have to download them from somewhere else.
I get this list.
Yeah, you go into the system and there's a couple of places you can get it, either from Add Remove or from the Synaptic Package Manager.
Right.
You can download any one of 20,000 programs without ever searching outside your machine. You're probably right. You don't need most of them, but it's like getting into Second Life. I can't tell you how many hundreds of thousands of pieces of furniture I have that I'll never use, you know. But you're always looking for the one perfect thing. So you install 50 of them,
but
you use
free.
One, and then you uninstall the other 49. Not a big deal.
Well, and this is a big deal with Windows because we get a lot of machines in our shop where people have just downloaded everything. I had one this week that had like 4 toolbars loaded, 6 media programs loaded.
Oh, yeah.
Because a window pops up or they hear somebody mention how cool this program is, they go download it and install it. And then suddenly their computer is running really, really slow.
And the nice thing about Ubuntu is all 20,000 of those programs have been certified to run correctly under that operating system. So there's no question, no problem, they all work. It's a great operating system. Give it a shot. It's phenomenal. We're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes on the greatest computer show in the known universe. It's 43 minutes after the hour. We are Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Inner.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Rick.
I'm Larry Dugan.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And Alex Vanderwell.
Thank you,
Alex.
You're
leaving up too high for her. She's sitting there.
Hand her the...
And bubbling her in the forehead.
What the heck? Learn to be a gentleman. Right, pass to her when you're done.
She can jump.
The mic. Talk, talk, pass. Talk, talk, pass.
Listen, I don't want to know about what you did in the 60s. You know what I'm saying?
That's about all I did.
Talk, talk, pass.
That's pretty much what I did in the 60s. Absolutely.
If you can remember the 60s, you weren't there.
We were talking about that up in Second Life one night. We were at the hot tub. We do have a hot tub in Second Life. And we were all sitting around and talking about things you shouldn't be doing.
In the 60s.
Well, we shouldn't be doing Larry has been kind enough to loan us some land in Second Life, and I try to make sure that there's nothing that goes on untoward there, although we have often sipped a beverage up there and
that's
things like that. Yeah.
Well, I also need to thank you.
Why? I should thank you.
No, thank you.
No, thank you and the horse you rode in on.
No, the traffic that has come through my island now is like, I don't know how many exponentially much higher it is.
Well, I'm delighted. It is my pleasure. We're having fun in Second Life, and if you're not joining us there, you should make every effort to do so once in a while. We're going to have to plan a specific evening once a week that we go do that. Because I'm in there every night, and that's a little much for me.
Right, well, that's going to happen. You guys,
I can start setting up that one bulletin board down below that we can start setting up, you know, different planned events and that type of stuff is what I'm hoping to do. Just like I've set up, in the Tango Room. I've got, all the links right there that, you know, folks are looking for the latest thing in the Tango. Plus, I've also put in another freebie. In other words, another program that I have found or utility that I have found very useful. It's on one of the walls in the security Tango room. So you got to go check it out. So folks sit there and say, well, why should I bother? You know, I have trouble with my first life.
Also from the, we get that a lot.
Yeah, and this is what I'm trying to dispel. You know,
from the homepage of Second Life, there's a link right to the Second Life. It says, join us in Second Life. You click that. If you've got the program, it'll start. We got to take a break back in just a couple of minutes. It's 50 minutes after the hour. We are Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
I'm Larry Dugan.
I'm Alex Vanderwell.
Yay! And there's Rob Linton's in there just laying back and chilling.
It's
54 minutes after the hour. Our next caller, we should try to get in a few more calls here. Tom from Rochester. Welcome, Tom. What's your question?
Big show. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks.
Yeah. I'm a novice user, and I have a computer that's about 6 years old, 80 gigabyte hard drive. Mm-hmm. 384 megabytes of RAM, and all I really do is, you know, email and surf the web. No, nothing more fancy than that.
Mm-hmm.
I have dial-up. I have Blue Frog.
Okay.
And I'm using Windows XP Home Edition, and it's a legitimately bought additional Windows XP Home Edition.
So yeah.
I actually paid a retailer and got it.
You're the one.
And about 2 weeks ago, what happened was that I was just, you know, looking at the screen and just logged onto a site, and all of a sudden my screen went blank, and I hear a big, like, click, click, click. It sounded like a giant clock, tick-tock, tick-tock, screen going blank, and then a message that said, invalid boot diskette, insert correct boot diskette into drive A. So I have no diskette for a drive A. So I shut it off, turned it back on, and the same thing happened. It just gets like that.
Yeah.
Click, just like a giant clock ticking.
Yep, it's your hard drive.
Yeah, okay. Probably your hard drive has died.
Okay.
Or it's on its way out.
Look how nicely he takes it. Yeah, okay.
Well, that's good enough for me.
All right. Yeah.
So you could get a new hard drive for that computer, or you could get a whole new computer. Especially on a six-year-old computer. That might be something to think about.
Yeah, well, we've got a great deal right now. I've got one. It's the whole computer, 19-inch screen, speakers, keyboard, mouse, all for $1,000.
Nice.
There you go.
Yeah, it's got a 256 graphics, I believe, in, or onboard graphic, the gig of memory, and I'm trying to think. Well, I'm daydreaming here, trying to think.
Yeah, you clearly are.
Well, it's been a couple weeks ago that we built it, and I've been on vacation, and it's like, I got to research the brain.
Right.
But yeah, you can get into another machine relatively inexpensively.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Oh, that question about Microsoft Office?
Quickly.
The question is, if I want to get training on Word, Excel, and PowerPoint, you're applying for a job, they'll test you on, they'll say, come into the room, sit down.
Yeah.
We're going to test you on Word, Excel, PowerPoint.
Yeah.
If I used Open Office and practiced with that, would I be able to succeed?
Well, we happen to have someone who knows all about that, Mr. Lerdugan.
Well, if you were looking for some training on that, the college itself has Word, Excel,
this
and
is Finger Lakes
Community College. Right.
Okay.
And you know, a lot of our students actually do that. It's not recommended because a lot of the training and especially if you have to take the certification test.
Okay. Yeah, it depends if you're learning how to type or if you're learning how to use Word.
Yeah, if you have to get certified for that employer and they want to see a piece of paper that says you're certified as a Microsoft Office user specialist,
you've got to get that.
You've got to get the Microsoft. But
you can do all the same things, but you do them differently, and you don't want to be familiar with one and fumbling around with a different one in the test.
Okay, right. Got it. Well, thank you very much, guys. You've been a big help.
Okay. No, thank you. That's what we're here for. Now, we have a couple of quick announcements.
Today is the, it's a minor life milestone for me. I've earned my gray hairs because my oldest child, Laura, is 25 today. Happy birthday.
Hey. Happy birthday, Laura.
Insurance goes down.
And watch us in Second Life because Larry and we are going to be putting some events.
Actual events.
Real events
real
in
things.
Second Life.
Yep.
So watch carefully for that. We're going to be doing some things you really won't believe. And Larry, thank you so much
yes,
for joining
thank
us.
You, sir.
Chris, as always, it is, I want to thank Chris. He's again recorded all that stuff and is giving us his expertise.
And the old shows are starting to jump now. Chris is feeling better. We're glad for that. And
feeling better, but I have surgery coming up on Tuesday. So
yeah,
we'll
right.
do what we can.
We'll do what we can. I certainly want to thank Alex, who has done yeoman service here, and I want to probably thank Bob, because otherwise he'll pout. we're done for another week. I want to thank you all for listening. It is 58 minutes after the hour. You have been listening to the greatest computer show in the known universe, and that's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.